Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to another Radio Fishing. And we've got our guest here today who's been flying around the harbor. And, you know, he goes up there and gets high up in his airplane is what he does. And he goes flying around, checking things out. And going to talk to him a little bit about what's been going on since Hurricane Charlie to now with the mangroves. And we have Mike Heller from the Waterlife Magazine. Mike Heller, welcome.
How you doing? How you doing, Frank?
The crowd loves you. Don't we have a great audience?
Thank you so much.
Our studio audience is great. You know, we limit it down to a few hundred people, but boy, I got to tell you, they really.
Oh, man, thank you, guys.
Okay, so anyway, we're here in our studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor, and we've got Mike Heller here, editor, manager, owner. Chief cook, bottle washer of the Waterlife magazine. And you've been taking pictures flying around the harbor. You're a pilot, right?
Yes, I am a pilot, and I've been flying the harbor since 1995.
And obviously, nothing much changed until Charlie.
Charlie changed everything. The harbor was beautiful before Charlie. The mangroves overhung 15, 20 feet in places, just thick, lush green. And then Charlie came and turned everything into toothpicks.
Yeah. And what was amazing was how small Charlie was. It was like getting hit by a huge tornado because it started out this monster hurricane in the Gulf. Hit land and just condensed. I mean, just went down to this little buzzsaw.
Tightened right up, exactly. That's the analogy. Tightened up into a buzzsaw and then came up the harbor and just chewed the mangroves up on both sides incredibly.
What was weird is how it missed Gaspereau Island but tore up Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and then came across Cape Hayes. And the north side of the west wall is untouched, but you get about halfway down, and it just was decimated. There was nothing left.
Right, nothing left on the south end. It came up to the middle, and then it angled off a little bit to the right and headed for my house and your house.
But yeah.
made a mess of the harbor.
Yeah, Mike and I packed our houses up, put them in a dumpster, and let them be hauled off. There wasn't a whole lot left. Fish and Frank's was wrecked, the houses. And the mangroves, the lower half of the west side, and then a big chunk of the east side was tore up.
Just unbelievable devastation you can see. In fact, on our magazine website, www.waterlifemagazine.com, we've got an aerial tour from just after Charlie where you could see what things look like. And it was terrible. But now, today, flying yesterday, looking at the way the mangroves have come back, especially the south end of the west wall, we were worried that there was going to be a lot of erosion, that the lack of mangroves and their roots would just let the soil wash away and wash into the harbor. But we're seeing more mangroves down there. The new growth is really thick, and it's up to the shoreline. So it's,
now, we
it's
did lose several islands, several keys.
Over by Alligator Creek.
Yeah, a small island made from mangrove. Mangrove just starts growing, and then next thing you know, you got a little island. But we lost about four islands, that the two crab trap islands and a couple further down. They just were about to lose Cormoran, Carmen,
Key,
Two Tits, whatever you call it, bird crap. It's had so many names over the years, but that's going to be touch and go whether that island survives.
Yeah, that island might not survive, but things move around. The thing with mangroves is those little banana-shaped things that float in the water, those are the like seeds for mangroves. They're called propagules, and they float in the water. They come up on shore, and then one end gets heavy, and those things actually stand up. It develops a root and sprouts leaves. So you never know where the next mangroves are going to pop up. There's still shallow stuff there that may grow. We tried planting some right after Charlie on that little key there by Alligator Creek and down towards Cormorant. We put about 50 or 60 out there that lasted for a while, but they have to dig in. The high tides come in when they're not really established and just washes them away.
Yeah, it's something that the only way you stand a chance is to get just before we have our low tide season, then hope that we don't get any big winds.
Yeah.
Because winds will knock it out. Higher tides will take them out. It's really, I mean, for all the mangrove keys and islands we have, it's surprising how much it takes to get a mangrove to stick.
Surprising, but they stick, and they're coming back really good. This is the beginning now. We're starting to see a lot of the deadwood is starting to fall, and you're seeing more and more green and less toothpicks sticking out of it.
So it's actually pretty encouraging. It's, yeah, encouraging. It's very nice.
And the water is just gin clear right now. I mean, you can see the bottom.
Okay. Now, I've flown the harbor many times. I've been really, really fortunate. I've flown in many different types of planes, helicopters, all the rest of that stuff. And the one question I got to ask is, how many redfish you see on a bar?
Didn't see a whole lot of redfish on the bar, but when it was a little smoky on the east side, so we couldn't really see well. But out towards Gasparilla and out that way, there's redfish over towards Wooden Creek, up around the corner there. We're seeing manatees still flopping around, which...
Well, the manatees, it's not that cold for them yet. I mean, they get a lot of blubber. You know, they're okay in the cold, and they'd be a lot healthier if they'd close off that stupid thing in Fort Myers and let them swim up and down a little bit.
Let them swim where they naturally go to. It's kind of interesting, just to talk about manatees for a minute. The count just came out this week that there were about 800 manatees killed in Florida last year, most of them in, I think, Brevard and Collier, but... it's kind of interesting, that 800 number, because in 1997 they were saying there only were 800 manatees left. So there's 5,000 of them now, and that 800 number just keeps coming back to haunt us. But the manatees are doing really well.
They don't know what they're doing.
No, you can't count animals in the water from an airplane. That's absurd.
Driving around. Okay, there's one. There's one. Give me a break. And I don't know. Most of the time, the state's pretty good. But when it comes to this whole manatee thing, these guys are so shot out. I mean, it's just stupid.
It is. But, you know, I talked to Court Froelich the other night. His son Kip was Mr. Manatee for the FWC, and Kip has now moved over. He's now become Mr. Panther. So the focus has come off manatees a little bit. I think everybody's comfortable that we have more than enough of those lovable creatures.
Well, the problem is we all love the manatees. We just don't like the idiots who are trying to save them and do all kinds of stupid stuff that doesn't do any good.
They're saving their jobs. That's all.
Yeah, it's all about a paycheck. It has nothing to do with the animal, because I don't know any one person that would ever even go slightly out of the way to harm a manatee. I mean, and if the power goes out, we're going to need to meet. You know, I mean, let's talk. You know, survivalist thing here. You know, if all of a sudden, you know, the whole power grid ends and everything else, I'm looking forward to finding out what manatee tastes like. Because I'm sorry, me, you know, if there's no food, there's no grocery store, I'm going manatee hunting. You know, so save all the manatees you can. If the world ends, I need lunch. I'll save them until the world ends, but you know, until then.
Thanks for having me, Frank. I appreciate it.
I got to tell you, only in Radio Fishing you're going to get dialogue like that. But, no, I was involved for almost 10 years in marine mammal protection. And I did, in my own opinion, I think I did a lot of good for the manatees. I think a lot of good for the boaters. Tried to keep everything a balance, because when you're trying to protect a species, you always got to look towards what are people going to do. If you shut everything down and make it illegal to do everything, then they're not going to follow the rules. I've always tried, when I was working with them and eventually working with the federal government on this, and I did a lot of layouts for manatee zones. And you can always tell my more modern zones, because I gave the boats a way in and out to allow them to run, allow them to get where they're going and back where they're going in a specific area, leaving a lot of quiet, natural parts for the manatees. And so I can joke all I want about the manatees, because I can tell you right now, I know for a fact I've done more good for the manatees than all these do-gooders running around hugging trees. And my stuff was real, and I worked a long time at it, and I was very proud of the work I did for marine mammal.
Yeah, you were the exception in making common sense out of all of this stuff, and the people of Charlotte County are lucky for it. We've got sensible markings.
I did a lot of counties in Florida, and it was funny, the ones that they had me do and forced me to do one way, and they're still having all kinds of tickets and problems. And the ones that we did with people and nature in mind, the zones work so much better, because I don't think you should mix people and animal areas. I think give the animals a place that's nice and quiet and safe without a lot of boat traffic, and route the traffic around them in a faster zone. And unless they're totally brain dead, they're going to go to the quiet area.
They are. Manatees are like ants, though. They're curious creatures, and you know, they're in one area for a while, and then they're moving someplace else, and that's just the way it is. My theory was always the best thing to do with the manatee, if you want to protect it from boaters, is paint it orange.
Give them little orange helmets. That's a good one. But anyway, so we've been doing all kinds of stuff over the last few years. You've been involved in the reef projects, pretty much every kind of project, and now this last flyby, though. But you really, are you going to be putting up pictures of this?
Yeah, I'll have pictures in our January edition of Waterlife magazine, and then they'll be online, and you'll be able to see what's what and judge for yourself.
And you can click Mike's picture right next to this interview and go to the Waterlife magazine. And Mike's been a good friend for a long, long time, and very thank you for coming on Radio Fishing, Mike. And judging because I'm hearing the noise in the background saying that we're going to have to get out of here. They're running us out of time. But thanks, Mike. Any last words?
Thank you for having me, Frank. Christmas is coming up. Have a good holiday.
You want to say Merry Christmas to the family?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, you got a lot of relatives in Colorado. They can actually tune in.
I'll speak up louder so they can hear me in Colorado. Merry Christmas, Allison.
Okay, and this is Fishing Frank. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you on the next Radio Fishing.